This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council, your embassy of faith, family, and freedom in the heart of our nation's capital. Now, here's your host, FRC President, Tony Perkins. Sitting in for Tony today is the producer of Washington Watch, Russ Jones.
Iran also denies that it committed an act of aggression against Israel last week, that it sent a drone into our airspace to threaten our people. Well, here's a piece of that Iranian drone, or what's left of it after we shot it down. I brought it here so you can see it for yourself. Mr. Zarif, do you recognize this? You should. It's yours. You can take back with you a message to the tyrants of Tehran. Do not test Israel's resolve.
Welcome to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's a pleasure to be with you here today on this Tuesday edition of Washington Watch. That was Prime Minister Netanyahu. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about the threats happening in Israel and Syria and Iran. Is war imminent? We'll talk with Eric Stackelbeck later on in the show, and that should be a very interesting segment. You know, the mainstream media has been very quiet on that. And this week, we've highlighted FRC Action's True Blue members of Congress. Representative Doug Lamborn of Colorado is among a record number, 245 members of Congress, who scored a perfect 100% for votes cast last year, displaying unwavering commitment and consistent support of faith, family, and freedom. And President Donald Trump is continuing his push to overhaul infrastructure in the U.S. He says, quote, infrastructure repair is a priority shared by both parties. Trump revealed his $1.5 trillion infrastructure plan earlier this week. Congressman Bill Schuster of Pennsylvania and chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee is here to discuss the plan. Chairman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Russ. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Well, I know you're out in the district and seeing the folks. How is the district? I know it's always good to get back in touch with the voters.
Absolutely, and that's an absolutely critical part of the job we do in Washington is making sure we're back, talking to the folks, hearing what they have to say. My district is a conservative district, one that Donald Trump got the highest percentage in my district of any other district in Pennsylvania. He got 72% of the vote. So it's very conservative, very pro-Trump, and, you know, they're excited about the president talking about infrastructure. Of course, they're very excited that they're getting tax relief and payment, and their pay is going up because of the tax relief. And in my district, $1,000 is not crumbs. That's a lot of money for the average person in central western Pennsylvania.
That's right. Mere crumbs, as Ms. Pelosi says.
They can buy a new washer and a dryer, and for a family of four, living in central Pennsylvania, making, you know, $60,000 a year, $80,000 combined income, that's a lot of money.
Absolutely. Well, Chairman, in March, the House will vote on the first of President Trump's infrastructure priorities. And this first vote on part of an overhaul infrastructure package is a Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, reform bill that will modernize America's inefficient air traffic control system. And I know you're working hard on that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, absolutely. And when you think about infrastructure, most people think about being on the ground, but, you know, the infrastructure in the sky, it's what's the system that controls and make sure it's safe, make sure it's efficient in the air is our air traffic control system. And it's basically a system that's from the 50s and the 60s. It hasn't been able to be modernized. We've probably spent somewhere in the vicinity of $40 billion since the late 70s, early 80s to modernize it, and we've got very little to nothing for that. So the president, this is one of his priorities. It's one of our priorities on the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, something I've been working on for the last 4 or 5 years. And people should think of the air traffic control system in this way. The government will keep the safety part of it. They'll make sure everything's safe and everybody follows the rules. But we're talking about the air traffic control system. It is a 24/7 high-tech service provider. What they provide is air traffic control information to the pilots, to the planes that are flying around this country. And there's 850 million Americans that fly around the United States every year.
Well, apparently, you know, the FAA has been trying to modernize the air traffic control system for, what, some 30 years.
And
some of the things I've been looking at is that the air traffic control is a technology service that guides planes from point to point, of course, and it's not the core responsibility of government. Is that right?
Absolutely right. The core responsibility of government is make sure it's safe. And then having an agency that can provide a service in an efficient way is what we're trying to do. And I, as I might add, I got to get this plug in quick because as a conservative, we and President Trump has just announced, I think last week, he's going to try to reduce the number of jobs at the Department of Education, some of these departments. What our bill will do is reduce 35,000, approximately 35,000 people will leave government, will go out into this other entity. It'll reduce taxes. It'll reduce the workforce. The president could shut down the Department of Education, the Department of Labor, the Department of Energy, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and he would get to maybe 35,000 jobs. We're willing; we can do this in one fell swoop, and it's something that I need. I hope all the folks that are listening to you today are conservatives. If you think this is a good idea, call your member of Congress and let them know that this is a conservative reform package. We haven't reduced 35,000 jobs in government. I don't know how long. In fact, we've increased them.
Explain a little bit. Some of our listeners may be trying to comprehend, you know, President Trump's proposed 2019 budget includes this plan to spin off, as you've been talking about, the U.S. air traffic control to what's thought of as a nonprofit management. What does that look like?
Well, it really looks like a co-op. And I know lots of people that are listening, they have had experience with co-ops, especially if you go out in my neck of the woods, or the Rural Electric Co-op, or an Ag Co-op, or REI is a place that you can buy a lot of the sporting equipment, things like that. It's a co-op. And what happens is it's not for profit, and it's really sort of a misnomer because it will make a profit. But those profits are driven back in to improving the system or reducing the cost. And we looked at Canada, it was very similar. Canada has reduced the cost of its air traffic control services over the last 30 years by 40% because they've made it more efficient. They've been able to implement modern systems. And today they are deploying a GPS, a space-based navigation system, and they will be the world leaders in navigation of the airspace.
Now, the name of your bill is the 21st Century Air, AIRR Act, H.R. 2997. Is that right?
Right. Absolutely.
And when do you think that'll make it to the floor?
Well, we've talked to our leadership, and we believe we're going to be on the floor the week of March 13th. And it's an uphill struggle for us. We've passed this bill a year ago out of our committee, but we're coming up against some real stiff competition. And it's important I talk about this because, as I mentioned earlier, there's 850 million passengers that fly in the airspace today in commercial airliners. There are about 170,000 private pilots, small pilots in this country, and they are the group that has put out so much misinformation. Some of it is just patently false, and they want to stop it because they want to live in the system that they live in. And the business jets, for instance, they're the people, the G5s, and somebody wrote an article about how the New England Patriots just bought a 757. They will pay less than the passengers pay in their airspace, and a G5 takes a private jet, takes the same amount of time to manage the airspace as a 747. And they'll pay maybe a couple of $100 for that. And we're not, and we've even said we don't want to even mess with that. But they don't want to change the system because they get such a good deal, they're afraid that the deal will change for them. But our bill says, no, we don't want to change the deal because we don't want to fight them. We want to modernize the system. So we've got, we talk about the swamp. 170,000 approximately people across America, and their associations, their lobbyists in Washington, are fighting tooth and nail to stop us from doing this. That will benefit 850 million of us, and that's going to a billion over the next several years for the flying public.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Congressman Bill Schuster. He's the chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, represents the 9th Congressional District of Pennsylvania. Now, of course, I think it's going to need, 60 votes in the Senate or so. How do you think that's going to look? The GOP has just 51 votes.
Right. Well, it's a struggle, no doubt about it. Everything's a struggle in the Senate. But I have about two or three now Democratic senators who've looked at this and said, this is a modernization program that we should pass. So there's support on both sides of the aisle in the Senate. There's support on both sides of the aisle in the House. The biggest impediment to us passing it in the House, and it'll be the same thing in the Senate, is this small group of private pilots, people that own their own planes, that are putting out false information. And I'm astonished that I have about 30 or 40 Republicans, conservative Republicans, that are saying no to this. And I said, this is real reform. This is a conservative reform. We should be for this. And again, we've taken care of the small pilots in this bill to make sure that they don't face some kind of tax or some kind of being denied access to the airspace. And so we've taken care of them, but there's still people, conservatives, that are saying no to this. So again, your listeners today, calling your member of Congress and asking to support the AIR Act, the 21st Century AIR Act, would be a great help to us in doing real reform, reducing taxes, reducing 35,000 workers in the federal government.
You know, Chairman, I was looking at a Rasmussen poll earlier today, and President Trump's plan to fix this, the nation's infrastructure, is overwhelmingly supported, actually, by the average folks. Most voters support the proposal, and among those voters, most like the idea of finding outside sources to find to help fund it. So, you know, President Trump, he's the guy, the art of the deal. How is he going to get creative on this?
Well, he's first of all, this air traffic control system, we're getting creative because we will take this agency out of government. And what people, the taxes and the fees you pay on the airline when you're on your airline tickets, which amounts to about 21% of the average ticket, it'll become a user fee. And we believe you can drive with an efficient system, you'll drive down the cost to people that use the airspace. And that's what I think the whole infrastructure conversation it should center around. As a conservative, one of the principles I believe as a conservative, if you use a system, you should have to pay for the system or contribute to it. And that's what we're doing today with the airspace and even the Highway Trust Fund, which runs out of money. We pay a user fee at the pump. People call it the gas tax, but it's actually a user fee. If you don't drive your car, you don't put that money in. And the thing that's very, very different about the Highway Trust Fund and what we collect at the pump, it goes into the Highway Trust Fund, and 100% of it is spent on highways, bridges, and transits across this country. So it's not something that you send to Washington and then people go, where's it going? 100% of what you pay at the pump goes into rebuilding our roads and bridges. And I think that's why Americans understand that and are in favor of it.
Well, we've got about a minute left. Opponents real quickly say that the current system's working well and that the air traffic operations with their implications for national defense should remain under government control. Just real quick, what do you say to that?
I say you keep the safety in government, making sure they're overseeing this, but you can take the system out, a 24/7 service provider. You can make it more efficient, modern technology, drive down the cost. And we have spent somewhere in the vicinity of $40 billion over the last 30-some years and have got very little benefit of that. So this is about saving billions of dollars over time, modernizing the system, but obviously keeping it as safe as it is today and make it even safer. The system is very safe today, so anybody who flies today should feel very confident and comfortable about flying in a safe system. But we want to modernize it, drive down the cost, take 35,000 people out of the government.
Congressman Schuster, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us here today. We'll be following this.
Thank you very much, Russ. Appreciate it greatly.
Thank you. Well, coming up next, we'll talk with Colorado Congressman Doug Lamborg of Colorado. He's one of our True Blue recipients. This is Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out. And all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
You've tuned in to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council, and, you know, he's out and about meeting with the folks, crisscrossing across the country for Bold Advance. And, you know, the Family Research Council, it really is an amazing organization. If you are driving down the road, tuning in for the first time, this organization is an entity that influences legislators and lawmakers in Capitol Hill on issues of faith, family, and freedom. And as you've probably heard, the FRC Action recently released its annual scorecard for the first session of the 115th Congress. And it's been a delight this week to highlight a few of the recipients of FRC Action's True Blue Award, who display that unwavering commitment and consistent support of faith, family, and freedom. Well, joining us now is Congressman Doug Lamborn. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Colorado. He serves on the House Armed Services Committee all the way out in Colorado. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, it's always great to be on your show. And keep up the great work promoting traditional values.
Well, thank you, Congressman. I understand you gave kind of your version of a State of the Union address out in your district. How'd that go today?
It went really well. I talked about a lot of issues. I talked about the life issue, which people need to know that that's part of me. But also I talked about military funding and transportation. And we just went through so many things that are of interest to people that live here locally. And it's you know, it's great to, as a congressman, you can involve yourself in local issues, but at the same time, you get to represent the whole country and you get to work on the national issues that affect 330 million Americans and hopefully trying to make our country a better place. And in my case, that means returning to traditional values. And so it's just a great way of working locally and working nationally at the same time.
You know, a lot of folks think, well, when the House and the Senate's not meeting, y'all are just on vacation. And I know that's not true. You're actually out working and talking with the folks. What are you hearing for people? How do they think the president's doing? And what policy issues are they frustrated about and hopeful about?
Well, you could probably imagine there is some polarization, and it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to Republicans or, let's say, traditionally minded people, conservative people, they're actually pretty upbeat. You know, this Tax Cut and Jobs Act is going to help the economy, help people have more money in their pockets. Some of Donald Trump's appointments are really a breath of fresh air for some of these agencies that were run by liberals under Barack Obama. And so if you talk to the military coming back, mm-hmm. and America's position in the world coming back, if you talk to those people, they're actually pretty excited. But on the other side, you have the Trump derangement syndrome. You have some people
right.
that are so anti-Trump, he could say the sun comes up in the east and they want to start an argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and are you finding that folks are really tired of this Russia obsession? I mean, it just never seems to stop. And there, the meddling apparently was real to some degree, and the indictments have come down. But are you finding folks are just ready for the government to do what it's supposed to do?
Well, I am. I'm seeing a lot of that. I was asked by reporters today about Russia, in fact, and how Trump is handling that. And I said, you know, we have congressional committees that are looking at Russia. And, you know, that's who needs to be looking at it, and they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a special investigator, Robert Mueller, who's looking at it. So we have more than enough investigation going on. Many of them are coming up with basically nothing in terms of collusion. Yeah, we saw meddling. I think Russia was just an equal opportunity meddler,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to cause trouble no matter who was going to be the ultimate victor in the presidential race. They were just wanting to cause trouble and sow dissent. You know, they were taking both sides at times. They were literally taking both sides. They just wanted to create trouble. And it's not like they knew Trump was going to win and they wanted to put the thumb on the scales for him. I think, like most Americans even, they thought Hillary was going to win, and they just wanted to poison the well once she got elected, should she have gotten elected. So, but what I'm not seeing at all is collusion. I do not see collusion between Trump campaign people and the Russians. I just don't see that.
Do you think you're going to see some discussion on sanctions on Russia?
Well, there's always room for sanctioning Russia because they are troublemakers, you know, and so that's appropriate for to them. I mean, look at the Olympics, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe it didn't happen, but they have a curler who is doping. You know, they just have a way of not abiding by the norms of the rest of the countries of the world. They'd like to see what they can get away with.
Right. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado, and he is one of our True Blue recipients, which means that he received 100% scoring on issues like no taxpayer funding for abortion and disapproval of Obama's HHS Title X rule and Obamacare repeal. And some of the real strong issues, tax cuts and job cuts. Congressman, you'll be heading back here in a few days. What is on the future? What's on the horizon when you get back?
Well, one thing I'm personally really involved in is the Taylor Force Act. And if I could mention that, Russ,
yep, that's you got about 30 seconds.
It's a piece of legislation I introduced. It has passed the House. It tells the Palestinians that you can't get American taxpayer money and turn around and give it to the terrorists who killed Israelis.
Mm.
Or in this case, Taylor Force was an innocent American who was just
right.
visiting Israel. So they have to clean up their act or they get no more U.S. taxpayer dollars.
We will be following that for sure. Thanks for squeezing that in. Congressman, be blessed, be safe. Thank you for serving our nation. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Russ.
Well, is Israel and Iran edging closer to conflict? We'll talk with Middle East expert and terrorism expert Eric Stackelback when we return. I'm Russ Jones. This is Washington Watch.
you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay. Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Iran also denies that it committed an act of aggression against Israel last week, that it sent a drone into our airspace to threaten our people. Well, here's a piece of that Iranian drone, or what's left of it after we shot it down. I brought it here so you can see it for yourself. Mr. Zarif, do you recognize this? You should. It's yours. You can take back with you a message to the tyrants of Tehran. Do not test Israel's resolve.
It's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at a conference with world leaders. Powerful, powerful stuff. You know, I get a little nervous when things get quiet about Israel in the news. That's because there's often things lurking under the surface. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. In holding a battered piece of what he claimed was an Iranian drone, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel would act against Iran during a speech at the Munich Security Conference. And Israel has issued a direct warning to Iran amid these mounting fears of major new war in the Middle East. And all this begs the question, is war imminent? Well, with us now is Eric Stackelback. He's a terrorism analyst, Middle East expert. He is affiliated with Christians United for Israel and host of the Watchman Show on TBN. Eric, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Russ, great to be with you.
Well, you know so much about Israel, and I don't know if you heard me. I do get nervous when things get quiet mm-hmm. about Israel. You know, it's like the mm-hmm. calm before the storm. Is that what you're sensing?
You know, Russ, in a way, I am. I have to agree with you there. Now, we saw the flare-up, which you mentioned in the lead-in last week on February 10th, an Iranian drone, a hostile act, Russ, infiltrated Israeli airspace, was shot down. Then Israel bombed 12 Iranian and Syrian military targets right across the border in Syria. I can tell you, Russ, this thing is going to heat up. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's been a slow burn over the past few years. As you said, kind of the calm before the storm. I'm in Israel frequently, as you mentioned. I'm on those very hot borders, whether it's the Golan on Israel's border with Syria, whether it's their northern border with Lebanon, where Hezbollah lives and breathes, whether it's the Gaza border with Hamas. I'm there frequently several times a year. And I can tell you, the Israeli military is preparing diligently every day. I was with the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, Russ, just last month on the Golan Heights on that Syrian border where we had that flare-up last week with Iran, and they had a massive military exercise and drill. As a reporter for the Watchman show, we were in the middle of it with cameras, which was quite an experience, tanks and the whole nine. And what they're doing, Russ, is they're preparing not only for urban warfare and kind of terrorist warfare, but they are preparing for large-scale warfare as well. So things are heating up without a doubt.
And you know, you can often learn what's going on with our own troops. There's a number of our National Guard units who have deployed, getting ready to go overseas. So, you know, you can even look at that. What does that mean? Does that mean, you know, we're being proactive in that? And part of this event that we were talking about earlier, where Prime Minister Netanyahu was at, an Iranian official threatened to flatten Tel Aviv if Israel attacks.
Yeah, this is no joke, Russ, really. Here in the United States, we're separated by oceans, and a lot of times people think ignorance is bliss, and, well, it's happening thousands of miles away in Iran and the Middle East. It doesn't affect us. Well, guess what? What happens over there very much matters over here. We saw that clearly on 9/11, to say the least. So President Trump, obviously, he gets it. He gets the Iran threat. He may, at the end of the day, Russ, just do away with that disastrous Iran nuclear deal. He definitely wants to build up our military. He's serious about the North Korea threat over in the Pacific as well. So he sees the existential threat Iran poses, not only to the region, but to the United States. At the end of the day, Iran's main foe and what they chant at rallies in Tehran, they've been chanting it for 40 years, Russ, is death to America. Mm-hmm. They refer to America as the great Satan. And there's a reason that Iran is developing intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs, that are designed to travel across continents. Those missiles are not for Israel. Those missiles are for us. And those ICBMs, Russ, are designed for one purpose and one purpose only, to carry a nuclear warhead. Iran continues in their attempts to develop nuclear weapons. And, oh, by the way, they have a very, very cozy relationship with North Korea, where I'm sure they're exchanging lots of nuclear technology.
Well, you know, I was reading some things earlier today, and it seems like the U.S. has long ignored the rise of Iranian penetration throughout the Latin American region. And I don't know if you've been following that, but with Iran in seeming control of Venezuela with Russia and China, it looks like they're seeking to expand the control further in the region.
They are, Russ. I'm so glad you brought this up. We talk about why should we care here in America about what happens again over there. Well, Iran has its tentacles throughout South America, right at our southern border. It's not alarmism. It's fact. Hezbollah, which is Iran's most powerful proxy. We know about the threat they pose to Israel, obviously, thousands and thousands of rockets and missiles. But Hezbollah has a strong presence in Latin America as well. You mentioned Venezuela. That relationship really started to bud under the not-so-dearly-departed Hugo Chavez in the past decade. But that relationship continues with Venezuela.
Eric, we're facing a hard break. Can you hold on and come back after the break?
Absolutely, Russ.
All right. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. We're talking with Eric Stackelback. Important conversation, things you need to know. Don't go away. Come back. We're going to continue this conversation on Washington Watch.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, That's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Radio program powered by the Family Research Council. We're talking with Eric Sackelback. He's a Middle East expert, Christians United for Israel, and host of the Watchman Show on TBN. Hey, Eric, welcome back to the show. Thanks for holding on. And first of all, when can folks see your show?
Yeah, Russ, they can see it Friday nights at 10:30 Eastern on TBN, also Wednesday nights. If you miss it on Friday, you can catch us on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 Eastern p.m. on TBN.
All right. Well, what are some of the factors that are helping to bring such a war nearer? I think from a biblical theological perspective, we know what that is. But how about on more of a political plane?
Yeah, I'd say two words here, Russ: Iran and Russia. Let's start with Iran. The Iranian regime, and we mentioned before the break, Russ, how they're trying to export that revolution to Latin America, to the Western Hemisphere as well. The Iranian regime has a global view. Yes, they want to dominate the region. They want to reestablish the old Persian Empire for sure, and they are committed to wiping Israel off the map. They mean what they say when they say that. But Iran, not only is their ideology, and you must understand the ideology, it's an expansionist, jihadist ideology. Not only do they have the radical, extreme, expansionist ideology, but they will shape policy around that. What does that mean? It means Iran right now is opening a land corridor from Tehran through Iraq, through Syria, all the way to the Mediterranean at Israel's doorstep. Iran right now, Russ, really controls four Arab capitals in Yemen, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. Iran is the power broker. These are Iranian satellites. Not only that, Iran has very powerful proxies. Hezbollah, who we mentioned, some 180,000 rockets and missiles aimed at every inch of Israel. Hamas to Israel's south. What Iran wants to do, Russ, is really encircle Israel like a vise and squeeze it. That's why they want to establish a foothold in the Golan on Israel's border with Syria, which is where, again, we saw the flare-up last week. So we have the Iranian factor. And number two, Russ, real quick, Russia. Look, Russia is in the Middle East right now. They are in Syria. They are there to stay. They're not going anywhere. They're another one. They want to reestablish that old Soviet empire. And to do that, look, you have to have that influence in the Middle East. And right now, Russia is shoulder to shoulder with Iran and Hezbollah in Syria. These are allies. I assume, Russ, that they're sharing intelligence as well about Israel, about the United States. So I believe that the next war will be sparked. There's a very good chance out of Syria, where we have Iran and Russia right now, shoulder to shoulder with very bad intentions.
And it's interesting. It seems like, you know, President Trump over here in the United States, tormented by all of this stuff in the background. Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel, he's got some things going on, that's tormenting him. Do you think that's serving as a distraction like it might be over here as well?
Yeah, Russ, absolutely. And Israel's a tiny country. You know, it's the size of the state of New Jersey. But the Knesset, you think things get wild on Capitol Hill, Russ. You haven't seen nothing until you've been to a meeting of the Knesset in Israel, in Jerusalem. But in all seriousness, look, this is a distraction, especially for Israel. Israel is the first line of defense for the West. Israel is quite literally in the belly of the beast, a tiny country surrounded by a sea of radical enemies that seek its destruction. Needless to say, this is the last thing Prime Minister Netanyahu needs, without a doubt. He's got to be worried about Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, literally ISIS, literally on his borders. So this is a very unwelcome distraction, I would say, for President Trump as well. All of those things swirling around, the collusion charges, etc. Hey, look, we have threats gathering as well, Russ, as you know, in North Korea, Iran, ISIS. So it's unfortunate that the political situation often distracts and can pull leaders down. But I think President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu are pretty forthright, pretty knowledgeable, and proactive on these issues, thankfully. And a great thing, Russ, a big change from the past 8 years is that the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of Israel, have a very close, friendly, and productive relationship, thank God.
Thank God is true. Thank God is true. Well, Eric, thank you so much. We always appreciate having you on the show. You were just a wealth of information. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Russ. Anytime.
All right. Been talking with Eric Steckelbeck. That guy knows his stuff. That's why I brought him on. I mean, he just, you need to follow him. If you're interested in Israel, if you're interested in what's going on in the Middle East, Eric Steckelbeck, Christians United for Israel, and host of the Watchman Show on TBN. Well, let's open up the phone lines, 866-372-74, 866-372-7234. Hey, did you hear that Jennifer Lawrence, Hollywood actress, she's going to quit. Yep, she's going to quit for a year, she says, to, quote, fix our democracy. Now, aren't you relieved? You know, you're driving down the road. Russ Jones here, sitting in for Tony Perkins on Washington Watch. And I just shared with you that actress Jennifer Lawrence, the world's going to be a better place because she's going to take a year off from acting to fix our democracy. I am breathing a sigh of relief. Thank goodness somebody's going to stand up. Of course, you know I'm joking. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. You know, I get so frustrated. I think I mentioned on the show, well, you know, last week, how much I enjoy the Olympics. I haven't even been able to really enjoy the Olympics this time because of the politics of the athletes and interjecting their thoughts about Vice President Pence and President Trump. And it's hard to go to a movie anymore just because you're looking at these folks that you maybe used to really enjoy. And now you're looking at them and going, you know what? I don't really like your politics. And I don't like the fact that you think I need to put up with it. So, you know, there's some movies that we won't. It's like that movie, The Post, with Tom Hanks in it. And, you know, I just couldn't go see it. Now, that would have been a movie as a journalist that I would have probably enjoyed going to see. Well, let's go to Lincoln, Nebraska. Colin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Hey, Russ. Listen, you know what? I just feel like we're just tiptoeing around so many things because in the book of Matthew,
yes,
and Mark and Luke, it talks about the end times and what's going to happen. But specifically in Luke 21, Jesus said, when the armies shall therefore encompass Jerusalem,
yes,
you will know the end is now.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Yep.
You know, and it's happening. And, you know, this political stuff, I mean, we just kind of tiptoe around everything that's going on. It's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. in prophecy terms, I think you're right. I think we're seeing a lot of things taking shape, unfolding. And Colin, we're just to be ready and to believe and be faithful, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I really appreciate you guys. I do. I study a lot, and I'm around a lot of people that are aware of things that are going on. Mm-hmm. And Lincoln, Nebraska is a great town for Christianity and for values.
Right.
But that's what it comes down to, is that it is happening. And, you know, let's not go to sleep.
Right.
I mean, they said it.
Well, Colin, yeah.
When the army even comes to Jerusalem, and you just said it on your program, brother, Russ. Mm. You said they are encompassing.
Right. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you out there in Nebraska. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'd like to thank you for that fabulous guest you just had on. It first time I'd heard him in quite a while, and very, very knowledgeable, very informative, but got a lot out of it. Excellent guest. I hope you have him back soon. And you guys are right. It's great that Netanyahu and Trump are both proactive and each have each other's back, because I said,
yes,
we think we're heading into some critical end days here, and it's good to know that you got some proactive conservatives at the helm. So
absolutely.
Thanks again for a great guest and the great information you provided us.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for that good word. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Marie in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Marie.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? How's my home state there in Missouri?
I am very blessed. Thank you so much. Today's program reminds me how important it is to pray for Israel, to ever keep them on our hearts and minds.
Yes.
And I just wanted to say one thing Tony frequently says is that we're a republic, and this young lady you were talking about, to save our democracy. We're not a democracy.
Yes,
we
amen.
Are a republic.
Amen. But aren't you relieved, though, to know that she's out there trying to fix it, though?
Oh, absolutely. It just made my day.
hopefully folks know we're
praying in our nation.
Yeah,
that's what's gonna help.
If anything should make us drop to our knees anymore, it's knowing that that's out there. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling. Give us a call. Got time for a few more calls. Let's go to Bob in North Carolina. Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Let you know, I appreciate the show. First time caller.
Welcome.
Thank you. The want to say something about these 13 indictments of these Russians. Apparently, they are not in country. There's no arrest. I would assume they're not coming back. And it seems to me like this is just a dead end.
Yeah, they'll be curious to see where it goes. You're absolutely right. They'll never probably see the light of day of any U.S. courtroom. And this seems to be pretty certain. So, we've had a number of guests on the show and trying to see, well, okay, so what? Now we have this information. Will there be sanctions? Where does it go from here? And I think the average person in America just wants to know, when is this going to end? You've let us know, you've found out these things, and now where do we go? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it seems like it's just convenient, and now it's just going to drag on forever.
Yes. Well, thank you, Bob. Appreciate you calling. That's Bob in North Carolina. And, people want to know, okay, we've been talking about Russia for a long time now. Can we get on with the business at hand, deal with it, if indeed this is true, as you say it is? How much of it is political? How much of it is real? And then deal with the part that is real and move forward so President Trump can get on with his agenda. Let's go to Linda in Texas. Hi, Linda.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
I'm very fine. I'm driving in the rain here in Texas. I hope you can hear me.
I can hear you, but you be careful in that rain and driving and talking on the phone.
Will do. Hands are on the wheel.
Oh, well, good. Well, that's good.
So are we on the program now?
Yes, you are. You are on the program.
Okay. So I just have a comment and perhaps a consideration for you to think about.
Yes.
It seems to me that one of the reasons that we're in such straits that we are today, the evangelical community over a very long number of years, is because of the cynicism, the belittling, the joking about our adversaries.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we had more respect for our adversaries, you know, the Lord always had respect for people that didn't believe him and didn't think the way he thought.
Right.
And don't you think that making fun of people, it makes me so uncomfortable hearing it. If I could mention a ministry, Robbie Zacharias, you know, his primary target is adversarial audiences.
Mm-hmm.
He hardly ever goes to a church or someplace where thousands really believe him and accept what he says. And do you realize the number of people that he has influenced for good because he always had respect for the people that he addressed? And, in fact, even in his voice, most of the time, regardless of how difficult the questions were or how hostile the questioner was, that he always came through the lens of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a hard thing to do. But really, if we would back up and start talking about actresses and so forth with respect rather than cynicism and making fun of them, I think we've paid a very, very hard price. You know, on 60 Minutes, when was interviewing the committee that they had after the election, half Democrats, half Republicans, and they became friends. So I don't know if you saw that last, I believe, Sunday night. So they brought them together after this 1 year, and the conservatives, actually, there was a moment where he got very upset about something, and he said...
Linda, we're about out of time.
Okay, he didn't like liberals, and Oprah says, do you hate liberals? And he said, I sure do. Well, he doesn't, probably. He
mm-hmm.
But that's what comes across when we're always argumentative. We need to take a different stance and present the statesmanship for our argument rather than the hype.
All right. Thanks, Linda. Appreciate you calling from Texas. Real quick, okay, we don't have time to go to Eve in Virginia. I'm sorry. We're out of time. You've been listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, been sitting in for Tony Perkins. And I leave you with this from Romans 8:38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither the height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thank you, friends. It's been a pleasure to be with you here today. I'm Russ Jones, been sitting in for Tony Perkins. You've been listening to Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. Again, that's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.